Well, good morning again. A couple of things that I wanted to add. If you saw that video, that is available online. You can share it. You can send people links to it so they can see it. There's also a link from Tompkins County Weekly, who did an actual article about the clothing giveaway in the clothing room. So that can be shared as well. And we encourage you to do that, to let people know when it's open, what we're doing, and most importantly, why we're doing it. As I tried to express to the reporter from Tompkins County Weekly, is that it's not about that we get a lot of attention or even get our name in the paper. And she jokingly said, well, it's too late for that. And I said, I understand that, but I want you to understand why we're doing it. It's because we're doing what we're doing to show the love of Christ, because of how much he loves us and loves our community. So just an opportunity to do that. And Dana Morgan sent me a text yesterday, or maybe Friday, and said just he wanted to thank all of you for your prayers and the card, and that he will be here in a couple weeks when he's a little more mobile. So he's doing well, but he wanted to thank you for your prayers and the card. So we are in a series called A Season in the Minors, or an extra season, because we're going longer than I thought and I planned, but we're going just as long as God planned. And this, we are in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. It is the last known communication that we have from God for more than 400 years until Jesus comes and is born as a baby. And in this book, God, knowing that he's not going to give any more communication, says, I want to plead with you. This is what I want you to know for the next 400 years, because I'm not going to say anything. If you focus on this, you will be doing good. Get back to basics. Work on the fundamentals. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And so he's pleaded with us in several ways already in this book to do that. And last week we saw his second one. His second plea was, give like I give. And with that starts with giving honor to those who it is due, and especially to God. Giving honor means esteeming and treating another with respect because of who they are or what they have done. Seeking to enhance the name or reputation of someone. So if someone said to us, you don't honor God, or you don't honor God's name, how hard would they have to look into our lives to find evidence that the claim is true or the claim is false? Does our life give evidence that we honor God or don't honor God? We're supposed to give honor, and we're supposed to give our best, starting with our money. Do we give the first of our money to God, the best? Or do we give whatever's left? Or do we give only if something is left? Is God the first or the last bill, and we put that in quotes last week, we pay? Give the best of our money, give the best of our time. Do we give the first and the best of our time to God? Is it a priority in our schedule and in our lives? Do we give any of our time to God? Do we give our time if we have a little extra, or only when there's some left over? Give the best of our skills and abilities and knowledge, regardless of what they are. Do we give them to God, no matter what they are? Do we give our best and give first to him? And we're also supposed to give our best effort. It isn't how much of an effort, because each one of us have different abilities, different levels of effort, but what kind do we give? Do we give our best? Do we give a little, a sum, a lot, partial effort? Do we just show up and get credit, or do we give our best? We also were challenged to have the right attitude, and the picture on the screen is not the right attitude. That is the attitude the people in Malachi's day were confronted about. Have the right attitude by remembering who we are giving to. When we give, whether it's our time, our money, our talents, our efforts, do we take time and actively, consciously think, this is for God? I'm giving this to God. I'm doing this for God. I'm giving, as I told the reporter, because of what God has given to me, what he is giving to me right now. And we should view giving as a privilege, not a burden. The people in Malachi's day saw it as a burden. What is our attitude about giving? Do we take it as a privilege or as a burden? If we view it as a burden, serving, giving, if we think it's wearisome, tiresome, a grind, the issue is not with God. It's not the issue. It's the issue is not with what he asks us to do. The issue is with us. We're in love with ourselves more than we're in love with God. How did we respond to God's plea? Give like I give. What did we do this week? Where did we change our perspective or our actions? So that catches you up through chapter 1. Before we jump into chapter 2, I have a question to start out with this morning. Have you ever been asked one of these questions? Can you hear me? Do you hear me? Did you hear me? Are you listening? If you're married, you can probably relate to this more than when you were single or if you are single, because there's a humorous statement that I came across a while ago. It says, being married means mostly shouting what from one room to the other. When is the last time you've been asked one of these questions? But maybe we should change it a little bit. How often are you asked these questions? How often, when is the last time you were asked one? More importantly, why? Why does someone ask, do you hear, did you hear, are you paying attention? What's the reason? Is it because, well, we didn't really hear? Because it's noisy, because our hearing aids aren't working, or we're away in another part of the room and they thought they were right in the same room? No, if we're honest, it's because of one simple thing. We're not paying attention. We're not actually listening. And that's what God's plea is this morning. Hear, listen. We're going to start by reading the first 9 verses of Malachi chapter 2. If you're not there, I invite you to find that place in your copy of God's Word. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Malachi. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant is with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him is one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and I turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. What we're going to see this morning is God's third of his final pleas are, listen to me and my word. So before we dig into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunities we've had this week and has already been prayed yesterday to serve and to fellowship. Lord, as we are here this morning, either online or in person, we're coming to hear from you. We're coming to reset our week, to reset our focus on you and what your word says, and what your word says is important. Lord, may we hear from you this morning. May we listen, not just hear, but listen as you are going to challenge us about the difference. May we listen with the intent of obeying. Not listen to tuck it away as a piece of information, but listen and be transformed because we heard and responded to your word. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that we have the privilege of coming together openly and publicly to worship, to preach and teach and speak about your word, but may it not be more than just these few moments. May it be something that we talk about tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and be ready to come back again next week to hear and to restart the process. Lord, we thank you for beginning our week here. May you be pleased with what has already been done and said in Sunday school and with worship and what we're about to do as we hear, listen to, and respond to your word. We thank you for the privilege of speaking and relaying the word of the King of the universe, the one who loved us enough to die, as we've already sang this morning, die for our sins, to send his son to do that, to an unworthy, sinful people who deserve the exact opposite. We thank you for that. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for joining us here this morning. And we ask you that we would listen to you and your word in a new, fresh, and intense way, that we would not just ignore it, and we would not just pass it off or think of it as a burden, but recognize the privilege it is and the grace and love you give us by sharing your truth with us. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. God's third final plea is, listen to me and my word. When we are asked, are you listening? It's not simply, did we hear the sounds? Did our ears register noise and send to our brain, there's noise, someone's trying to talk to you? It's not just if we were actually paying attention to who spoke or who made the noise. But the question is, what are you going to do with what you just heard or was said, or what you should have heard that was just said? What are you going to do with what was asked? What are you going to do with what you were supposed to be listening and paying attention to? It's the same idea with God's plea. The word in Hebrew for hear is shema. It implies hear to take action. Hear and to take action. Hear and obey. I don't know who to give credit for this to, but I like it. To hear God is to obey God, and to obey God is to hear God. That's what God's request, his plea is this morning when he says, listen to me and my word. That's what it's all about. Listening to God as his word begins, listening begins with knowing what he says. Look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. Now, priests in the Bible were not simply responsible to offer sacrifices. They also functioned as a go-between, mediators between God and man. But in the New Testament, we no longer need a priest as a mediator because we have a greater and a better one. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We no longer need a priest as a mediator because Jesus takes that role. And we no longer need a priest because Jesus, when we accept his grace and join his family, gives us the role or the responsibility of a priest. This is Revelation to him, talking about Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. We also no longer need a priest because Jesus made us priests, and therefore we can go directly to God. No mediator except Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, to the presence of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we don't need a priest for that role. But in addition to sacrifices and being mediators, the priests in the Old Testament especially were responsible to read God's word to the people, to teach them what it means, help them know what God says, what God wanted, and explain to them how that functioned in everyday life, what that looked like. Now, we may need help understanding certain parts of Scripture. What does this part, this is difficult to understand, what does God's word mean here in this passage? Or how do I apply this idea from the Old Testament to my life? But we don't need someone to read God's word to us. We all have our own copy. Probably many of us have multiple copies. We can read it on our own. We can function like the Bereans in the New Testament. They, the Bereans, received the word of God with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Old Testament people had no ability to do that on their own, but we do. So the question is, do we know God's word? Do we know what it says? Do we know what he says? How well do we know it? How much do we know it? How regularly are we reading it and growing in our knowledge of what His Word says? Now, we need to give a word of caution here. When we seek to grow in our knowledge of what God's Word says, we must keep in mind the warning that Moses gave to the nation of Israel. This was one of the last things he said before he died. Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Or to put it a different way, don't give in to the temptation to see the Bible as a tool or source of information instead of food for your own soul. How do we view the Bible? Do we see the Bible as a tool and a source of information? Or do we see it as our life, as food for our soul? How do we know? Do we know the Bible, and how do we view it? Listening begins by knowing what God says, and listening means taking what He says to heart. Look it back at verse 2 of Malachi chapter 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then look down at the end of the verse. He says, because you did not take it to heart. The idea of the heart and taking things to heart is common in the Old Testament. We just saw it in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here's another passage that talks about this. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your finger. Write them on the tablet of your heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, rarely does it mean the organ in our body that pumps blood. Or this wonderful shape that talks about Valentine's Day, romance, love, and all the things that is connected with this picture of a heart shape. When the Bible, especially the Old Testament, talks about the heart or uses the word heart, this is what it means. The word heart denotes in Hebrew what may be called the command center of a person's life, where knowledge is collected and considered, and where decisions and plans are made that determine the direction of one's life. This is not something that's academic or theoretical. It's not something we know, some fact or some piece of information that we give an answer to someone who asks a question in Sunday school or in Bible study or in small group. Taking what God and His Word says to heart means what His principles are, what He says, what He expects, what His words are important, are significant to us. They affect, they influence, they change us at a personal level. They make a difference in how we live, what we say, and what we do. It is personal. It's part of who and what we are when we take it to heart. It is woven into and integrated into our lives. It permeates, as we saw before, all we have and are. The priests knew what God said. They could tell other people what His Word said and what it meant. They could tell those people, this is how you apply it. This is how you live it out. This is what your life should look like in light of God's Word. This is what you should be doing. This is what you shouldn't be doing. But here's the problem. The priests had a responsibility to instruct the people in the Word of God, in word and deed, demonstrating, not just telling, demonstrating reverence and obedience before Yahweh, before Jehovah. They weren't just supposed to teach. They were supposed to demonstrate. They weren't supposed to just use God's Word as a tool or a piece of information to help someone else, to give someone else. They told the people what to do, but they didn't do what they told the people. They knew God's Word, but they didn't live God's Word. It didn't impact them. It wasn't personal. They did not take it to heart. Now, we can be tempted to check out right now and dismiss this. Well, this is just for priests. And I know you said I'm a priest, Pastor Brian, but that's not the same thing as being a priest in the Old Testament. That's a pastor, maybe a missionary. Don't give in to that temptation. Don't give in and think this is for someone else, because you are a priest, and this is not only for priests. Priests weren't the only ones who were guilty of not taking things to heart. They all were. In Joel chapter 2, God said this to all the people, not just the priests, rend your hearts and not your garments, meaning make it personal. Take it to heart. Don't just do the external. When this happens, when we take it to heart, when it makes a difference to you and I personally in how we live, it makes us examples. Here's what Paul says and how he describes it. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Join me in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern or an example. So the question before us is, are we taking God's word to heart? Are we following Jesus and God's word, the example of and the example of others who are doing the same or striving to do the same? Are we taking it to heart and personally demonstrating what that looks like? What our example is when we take it to heart? Are we taking God's word to heart? Listening, it begins with knowing what God says. Taking what he says to heart and listening leads to talking about what he says. Look at verses 6 and 7. The law was in the mouth of the priest, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from inequity. So that's what should be happening, and it is an example of talking about God's word. For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Consider how much you talk, or more accurately, how much you and I communicate on a daily basis. How we communicate, the amount we communicate, is talked about elsewhere in Scripture. We're not going to touch on that. What Malachi is talking about here is what we talk about, not how much or not how we communicate. Think back over yesterday or the past week. What topics, subjects, or issues did you communicate about? Did you discuss, talk about, text about, email about? Which one did you communicate about the most? Which one? If you look at the surveys, they're going to tell you news, weather, politics, sports. Now, if you add in any recent surveys, they're going to say one other thing, COVID. Have you considered, have you noticed how much time we spend communicating about COVID? Whether it's about the virus, the shots, the masks, the mandates, whatever it is. Do you recognize how much it dominates our communication? How many of you have heard of the phrase, no Bible, no breakfast? Okay, the principle is, if I'm not going to read my Bible, I'm not going to eat breakfast. Okay, that's how important reading God's word is. I'm going to change that. I think this is what we should say. Not talking about COVID until we've talked about what God's word says. Don't talk about COVID unless you've talked about what God's word says. In contrast to what we normally talk about, we may need to ask a couple more questions. And this one's a little harder. When is the last time you and I had a spiritual or biblical conversation? Not about the news, not about COVID, not about the weather, not about sports or politics. A spiritual or biblical conversation. When you had one of these, when we had one of these, what was it about? What topic or issue did you talk about or discuss? Most of our conversations are going to be about something we heard, something we don't understand, a statement or a quote we found interesting, facts, information. Now, these conversations aren't bad. They're actually good. But if that's all we talk about, we're only partway there. If that's the majority of our biblical conversations, we're not being where we need to be. Because while talking about what God says is important and good, as D.L. Moody observed, the Bible was not given simply for our information, but our transformation. We need to ask one more question about our biblical conversations. When is the last time we talked about what God is teaching us? Where we need to grow spiritually? Or when is the last time we asked for prayer and help in applying God's word in our lives? When's the last time we talked about, God is teaching me this. He's making me recognize that this area of my life I need to grow in. I need to grow in this area. Will you pray for me? Will you help me grow? Will you hold me accountable? Have we ever been involved in a conversation like that? Have we not only been involved, but have we actually contributed, not just listened? Have we shared? Have we ever started one of those conversations? When is the last time? When is the last time you had one? If you've never had one, maybe you need to start one and have one with someone this week. Listening begins by knowing what God says, taking what he says to heart, talking about what he says, and listening brings blessing. Listening brings blessing. Look at verse 5. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me, so he feared me and was reverent before my name. Blessings come when we fear God, revere God, when we listen to him, his word, and we take what it says to heart. What kind of blessings does listening bring? My covenant with him was one of life and peace. Excuse me. Blessings, the first blessing is life. Now, this goes beyond the fact that you are actually sitting here today, taking in oxygen, and you are alive. Jesus said it this way, I have come that they may have life, and then he defines it, and that they may have it more abundantly. Not health, not wealth, not prosperity gospel. It's not if I listen to God, I won't have any problems, or I'll be healthy, I'll have wonderful life. Abundant life does not mean a long, easy, or comfortable life. Abundant life goes beyond what is necessary, exceeds expectation. It is life to the full or to the fullest. Abundant life is eternal life. Eternity in God's presence, fellowshipping with him rather than eternity in God's in hell and suffering because of our sin. This is what he designed and intended when he created the Garden of Eden and put Adam and Eve in there. But we don't deserve this. We are sinned and we're cast out just like Adam and Eve. So how is this possible? How does this happen? My covenant with him was one of life and peace. Hebrew, shalom. The word peace cannot explain fully with what shalom means. It includes reconciliation, restoration, being whole, complete. This is what Jesus did for us by his death, burial, and resurrection. This is what he gives to us. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you listened to God's word? Are you experiencing the blessings of peace, of shalom? Is your relationship with God whole and restored? Is it complete? Because you listen, will you experience abundant life, the blessing of abundant life, life to the full for eternity? Or have you rejected that and you are going to experience the exact opposite of abundant life for eternity? We've talked about four things that listening to God and his word bring. The last one is not listening brings judgment. Judgment comes in the form, first of all, of loss of blessing. We have seen blessings come when we hear God's word, we listen to his word, and we take it to heart. So the math is simple. Even anybody who is not good at math can understand. Listening brings blessings. Listening brings blessings. Not listening prevents them. Simple. If I listen, God blesses me. If I don't listen, I don't get the blessings. But that's not where it ends. God doesn't say, well, if you listen, you get blessings, and if you don't, you don't get any. It's not just we don't get any or we won't get any, but as long as we continue not listening, it goes further. It leads to what he explains in verse 2. If you will not hear and you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to heart. Now let's be clear. A curse has nothing to do with magic or witchcraft or a spell. Rather, it's simply doing harm to someone or something. And here God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do harm to you because you are not listening. But it's not because God is a sadist or he wants to be mean or wants to cause you suffering and pain and misery. He does it for one single purpose, to get your attention and my attention, to get you and I to listen and take it to heart, to bring about repentance, which then allows restoration and shalom, peace. God says, I will curse you. But he also says, I will curse your blessings. Now, what in the world does that mean? One of two options. Things which have been a blessing to us will no longer be a blessing to us. they will be lost or taken away. Or when we try to serve others to be a blessing, it doesn't work. We make things worse instead of better because God is trying to get our attention and say, you're doing it for your own reasons, not because of you took my word to heart. It causes more problems than it's worth. When we choose not to listen to God about something, whether we are Christian or non-Christian, the consequences are not limited to one single area of our life. Proverbs explains that. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Not listening to God negatively impacts our entire life. Not listening to God negatively impacts our whole life. We lose blessings. We are cursed. Our blessings are cursed. And then look at Malachi 2, verse 3, and then we're going to jump down to verse 9. But I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people. It's not clear whether God is doing a figurative or literal description, but it's one of God saying, you people who are doing these things, who are not listening, I'm going to view you as having excrement, as dung spread on your face. The parts of the animal that you are supposed to discard and waste that are not acceptable for sacrifice, it's like you have them on you, you're carrying them around. This was supposed to be taken out of the temple removed from the city. He says, this is what I think of you as. And he says, one will take it away with you. Meaning you can't just simply go to the priest and get ritual cleansing and get rid of it. He says, this is what you need to do. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He says, if you're going to approach that, this is the result. You have to go and repent. Not go through the motions. Not simply do what you've always done. Not rend your garments, but rend your heart. Admit your sin. Ask for forgiveness. Then, and only then, God says, the curse is removed. Your rejection is removed. The judgment is removed. Have you ever had a time in your life where everything seemed to go wrong? No matter what you tried, it didn't work. Nothing went right. You tried something new or different to fix your problems, and it got worse. I've been there. You probably have been there, and you may be there right now. When we experience this, it should make us stop and examine our life to see if sin is the reason. Now, it's not always the reason. It's not the only reason, but it should make us pause and say, is God trying to get my attention? Is God saying, look, I'm removing your blessings. I'm cursing your blessings. I'm holding you under judgment because you're not doing what I want. If we find that that's the reason, and God is saying, get our attention. He's got your attention. We must deal with the sin. So we can then experience God's blessings. We need to repent, ask forgiveness, and have the shalom restored with God. God's final pleas, listen to me and my word. To hear God is to obey God, and to obey God is to hear God. Listening begins by knowing what he says. How regularly are we reading and studying God's word? How well do we know it? Are we growing in what we know? But be careful. Do we see the Bible as a tool, a source of information, or as our life and as food for our soul? Listening means taking what he says to heart so that it permeates all of our life. Are we taking God's word to heart, following Jesus, his word, and the example of others who are seeking to do that? Are we then becoming examples and showing people this is what it looks like to take God's word to heart on a personal, individual level? Listening leads to talking about what he says. How much time do we spend talking about COVID? How much of it dominates our communication? Or you can fill in something else if you're not enamored with the virus. Do we need to practice not talking about COVID until we've talked about what God says? When is the last time you and I had a biblical conversation, a spiritual conversation? When is the last time we talked about not just what God's word says, but this is what God is teaching me. This is where he wants me and I to grow spiritually, and I need to change. And say, will you help me? Will you pray for me? Will you check in with me? Will you hold me accountable? Have we ever been involved in a conversation like this? Have we not only simply heard one or been involved, but have we contributed, shared, started one? Listening brings the blessings of life and peace. Have you listened to God's word? Are you experiencing those blessings, the blessings of shalom? Is your relationship with God whole and restored and right? Will you experience the blessing of abundant life? Have you even responded to God's word for the first time? And sadly, not listening brings judgment. It brings the loss of blessings. Listening brings blessings. Not listening prevents them. Not listening brings judgment in the form of cursing. Not listening to God negatively impacts our whole life. And ultimately, not listening brings rejection. Have you experienced that time in your life where everything seems to be going wrong, nothing goes right, whatever you do makes things worse? While it is not always because of sin, it should cause us to stop and examine our life and say, God, is there something I'm doing that has caused this in my life, and I want to repent of that. I want to remove that so that I can have the curse and the judgment removed. After hearing God's third final plea, listen to me in my word. How are we going to approach his word and listening to him and his word? Are we going to choose to listen, to take it to heart, to have biblical and spiritual conversations? Are we going to choose to plug our ears and ignore what he has to say and not listen to what his word says? That's the challenge for this morning. Let's pray. Father, we know your word way more than we take it to heart. We know lots about what you say, but we often ignore it. We often choose to say, I know, but. Lord, help us to be challenged this morning in whatever area you spoke to us about individually. The area where we need to change the soonest, where we need to say, I want to take to heart what your word says about that area of my life, my marriage, my parenting, my finances, my anger, my viewing habits, my time, my money, whatever it is. I want to take to heart what your word says, and I want to follow it, apply it, and I want to demonstrate to others this is what it looks like to personally take God's word to heart, and this is what it does in my life, and this is how I'm changing because of you and because of your word. May you be pleased with how we take your word to heart this morning and tomorrow, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of having a copy of God's word in our own hands so that we can see what it says, but help us not to treat it like a tool, like a source of information, but as our life and as food for our souls. We ask all this in the name of your Son who died for us in spite of the fact that we don't take your word to heart very often. Amen. I hope that you can sing that song saying, Christ alone, cornerstone, the foundation and center of your life. And that means you take his word to heart. If you have questions about what that means, what that looks like, if you are struggling in some area to say, I know what God's word says and I want to do it, but I need help, we'd love to talk to you about that. As you leave, the question before you is, how are you going to take God's word to heart? What has he spoken to you about? What is it going to look like as you step out these doors and into the rest of your day and rest of your week? Take God's word to heart. Listen to what he says and what his word says. Have a great afternoon.